Thank you so much, Kenny. I'm Margie L., a nicotine addict, and here's my story. I grew up in an upper middle class family. I was the second child of three, yes, the middle child. I have an older sister and a younger brother. My older sister was mean to me, and I was mean to my younger brother most of the time. My dad was an optometrist, a doctor, and my mom was a teacher, a grade school teacher, and a jazz singer. My parents divorced when I was 7 years old. I lived with my mom until I left to live with my dad at around 10 years old and moved from the East Coast to the West Coast. There was extreme culture shock. There were three groups of kids at school, the jocks, the socias, and the hoods. I didn't fit into any group until I started smoking with the hoods. I began smoking when I was around 11 or 12 years old. One of my best friends was smoking when she could get the cigarettes and gave me one to smoke. I remember coughing like crazy. I kept on trying to smoke until the coughing did not happen very much anymore. I thought I looked cool and popular. Around the age of 10 or 11 years old, I was molested by my step-grandfather until I was 12 and told the molester I did not want him to touch me anymore. He threatened me by grabbing my arm with a strong grip and told me not to tell anyone what we had done together. I was silent until I was 19 years old and in college back east. I could not get up in the morning due to depression. Remember, we are sick of our secrets. My secrets were within me for 7 years, so I told my family, a family member, not step-family, of course. They recommended I tell my dad and stepmother, and I reluctantly agreed. I was not believed by them. I started seeing a counselor and therapist twice a week for 10 years to help me deal with the molestation mostly. At age 17, I found a 12-step program for my sugar addiction. I got a sponsor who told me to look in the mirror every day and tell myself I love you. That was the beginning of the healing of my horrible self-image. I stayed in that fellowship for about 20 years. I left that fellowship after someone hurt my feelings very deeply by breaking my anonymity. I threw in the towel, and the only person hurt was myself. I came back 5 years ago to that fellowship. I learned my lesson to not put personalities above principles. I gained 140 pounds in the 15 years I was away. I really showed them. I had several long-term quits from smoking during my teenage and young adult years. I quit smoking from 1978 to 1985, 7 years. The first quit of 7 years was after a religious experience in 1978. Again, I quit smoking from 1986 to 1998, a 12-year quit. In 1985, I found a full unopened pack of cigarettes on a bus ride home from work. I remember thinking I would just have one cigarette, and that would be it. That time, in 1986, only after 1 year of smoking, I had experienced chest pains and pains in my lungs because I could not wait to smoke a cigarette in 17-degree weather and walking up a hill to get home. I still had no NICA or Smokers Anonymous at that time. I also picked up smoking again in 1998, which was during the time away from the other fellowship. I had been diagnosed with a severe mental challenge in 1998, having a violent mental episode. I hurt my first husband and ended up in jail and then in forensic hospital where they gave me the medicine that sedated me mostly, but only my symptoms. Subsequently, I was re-diagnosed several times with severe mental challenges and of different sorts. They could not find exactly what was wrong with me. About a year after my violent episode, I picked up smoking again. This time, the smoking was to last over 18 years, the longest stretch I had ever had of smoking before. It had proved to be the most difficult stretch of time to try to quit. I could not stay quit for more than a day or so. I had read somewhere that people with my mental challenge diagnosis had the hardest time stopping smoking, It is only research, but I understood what they were saying with the connection between the diagnosis and the smoking addiction. That is not to say quitting and staying quit is for anyone who is a nicotine. During the 18 years of smoking, I saw help from the church. I had a lady from the church who said she would pray for me and be available by text if I felt a need to smoke. She was well-meaning, but I kept on smoking despite all my religious beliefs. Even though I knew about the 12 steps and had worked the steps in the other fellowship, I was away from the other fellowship during most of my 18 years of smoking. I had forgotten how to rightly relate myself to God as outlined in the steps, especially steps 2 and 11, and all, of course, all the other steps. I had smoked from 1998 to 2017, except for a period of time from 2015 to 2016 while trying to get a quit going again in NICA or NVONR, Nicotine Anonymous and Voices of Nicotine Recovery. 2015 was when I found Voices of Nicotine Recovery on internet research looking for a way to quit smoking. It was obvious to me I needed help. At first, I also went to the smoking cessation program at the local hospital. They gave me free nicotine replacement therapy items, even prescribed chicks. These NRTs didn't work for me. I found that they delayed my cravings, did not get me off nicotine. In addition, the Chantix gave me nightmares, and the strong cravings and mental obsessions came back as soon as I went off the Chantix. When I stopped using NRTs and Chantix, I was quitting cold turkey, is what they call it. I was fearful to quit cold turkey at first, but people kept sharing of their success in Bonner, Voice of Nicotine Recovery, and NICA Anonymous. They said Nicotine Anonymous has no opinion on NRTs as an addict. I also know the NRTs do help some people at first to become nicotine-free, cutting them down and going off of that. So it is certainly not judging anyone who has used the NRTs. Okay. I had wanted to leave this fellowship many times, but did not leave. I have been hurt by people have made in reference to me. I learned a powerful lesson about keep coming back from having left the other fellowship. I remembered the pain of going it alone. I remembered how sick I had become from not sharing with the sponsor and the fellowship group and going to meetings. I was bound and determined to stick with NICA and Vonner. I spent over 2 years unable to keep a quit while coming mostly Vonner meetings. I also dialed into the Nicotine Anonymous phone bridge, free bridge meetings. I remember crying uncontrollably the first time I heard the Nicotine Anonymous third step prayer on the phone meeting that is dedicated to that prayer. People read the prayer over and over. I had never heard anything so beautiful. I did the first step twice in Nicotine Anonymous with two different sponsors, writing all 50 plus questions both times. I was told to keep on quitting and your miracle will happen. I held on to that hope through the discouragement of all the countless practice quits. I think I had the idea in the back of my mind that I could pick up smoking and then quit at will. This lie had to be smashed. I had to deeply and honestly admit my powerlessness over nicotine. There were two main problems during the first 2 years that I could not maintain nicotine freedom while in Nicotine Anonymous and Vonner. First, I had not surrendered fully to my higher power, whom I call God. Second, I was not happy where I was living. I owe a debt of gratitude to my Voices of Nicotine Recovery sponsor, and she's Nick Gaos also, of course. She got me to think about surrender and how I really want to live my life. My life to be. Of moving more, and almost did, I told my NICA sponsor where I wanted to move and what I wanted to do there. She was very excited for me and encouraged me throughout the adventure to follow my dreams and set my life up the way I wanted it. I had faced a bunch of problems with my relocation. I had just quit, a 2-month quit, at the time of my move. I stayed close to my sponsor in Nick A and my sponsors in the other fellowship. I finally spend my waking time in prayer and meditation. I also view some spiritual religious videos and watch TV evangelists. I really do pray for others, their healing and happiness. My newest endeavors are service related. At some point I will have to say enough, but I am pretty active as an admin on Vonner, with Nicotine Recovery, and offer topic suggestions for a Nicotine Anonymous email pen pal group. Just within the last few days, I've become the contributor for 7 Minutes Magazine in Action, asking you folks for articles. I want to give special appreciation to my Vonner sponsor. She has been a light and an inspiration in my life and sobriety. I finally have a comfortable quit with no cravings and mental obsessions. Well, maybe a couple of twinges, as I call them, that I quickly dismiss. This quit is a great gift, and I am ever so grateful to my higher power, God, and to all my friends in Nicotine Anonymous and Voices of Nicotine Recovery for our wonderful fellowship. I do not forget where I came from, and I will repeat, I keep coming back. I just want to add a couple things. Writing has been a tool, not really a Nicotine Anonymous tool, but in another fellowship that I'm in. And writing has helped me to clarify my thoughts and feelings. I send emails to friends, I write kind of like a journal, and typing, mostly typing, because I'm not good at handwriting for some reason. And it's a creative expression for me as well. And I have 5 months and 2 weeks today, nicotine free. And I guess that's about it. Thank you all for listening. And I'll pass. Go ahead.